Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Y allá en donde te encuentras, misionero.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. And there where you are, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín in Ciudad Juárez with Reverend Luis Gómez. May God bless you all greatly there. And to all those who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat 8 satellite in different countries. And also here in Puerto Rico, it is truly a blessing that God has given us at this time to live and to be able to see His entire program being carried out. For next Sunday, the next weekend, we will be in Villahermosa, there in the auditorium, where Reverend Andres Cruz Gallegos pastors. The activities there will take place on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, where we expect great blessings from God. And what we are seeing is none other than the fulfillment of the prophecies. Dr. William Soto spoke to us and told us that that third pool would be fulfilled, not only in the Great Tent Cathedral, but it would also take place in different countries. He says, if there is time, well, activities will be held in different countries, that is, campaigns like the ones that Reverend William Branham had. And notice, God is fulfilling His word. Campaigns, activities are being held in different countries. And when He spoke about having big places for all of us together, and to have fellowship and for God to speak to us through His word, He is also fulfilling it. So look, on one side, God is fulfilling the prophecies and the people receiving those prophecies being fulfilled, and which is what God promised, and others saying, no, that is not it. It can be. God is faithful to fulfill His word. And the elect are the ones who will be receiving it. Because the third pool is for the church bride. Because the third pool is for all the groups. But the important one is the church bride, the one whom He has come to seek to take her to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it has also impacted the foolish, the Hebrew people as well, and also the world, which have no opportunity. Now, next weekend, we will be there in Villahermosa, and we trust that the Mexican people will receive blessings there, and that from there, all the other countries also receive blessings. Now, afterward, we will be in some other places. We will let you know later so that you can prepare yourselves as well. Although there are some places where we will be arriving, perhaps along the way. That is why you have to be ready. And I desire that soon God allows us to reach that stage where we will already have a series of activities that may take longer than usual, but God will be moving us so that we have everything ready and to be carrying out what He moves us to do according to the fulfillment of what is promised to be done by the two olive trees, those ministries in the midst of the church, in favor of the church, and thus to receive blessings from God. In Revelation chapter 11, the scripture tells us, verse 1, And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. And shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and a great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. In the Bible study of this message, Brother William writes there to the side, rapture, that is, the rapture. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give its reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. The prophecy of the two olive trees. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message some words of greetings to the ladies preached on July 25 of 2009 in Santiago, Chile. Dr. Soto tells us there, he says, we know that a great 10th cathedral was seen, where God manifested himself greatly.
But the same one to whom it was revealed what would happen in the midst of Christianity, it had also been revealed to him that the miracles and wonders would be for Moses and Elijah, which he spoke in a message. This is referring to Brother Branham. And he tells us, on page 136, from the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1208, they ask him the question, or several questions here. Will the bride before Jesus comes, will she have all power of Holy Ghost to perform miracles, rise dead, and so as in the latter rain, or is this latter rain for the 144,000 Jews? Will all the ministers have this? In other words, will the ministers have that power as well? Are we just waiting for the coming? Now, latter rain, 144,000 Jews. No, that isn't that. That's when Elijah and Moses, that's where the miracles takes place. The things that the people's been looking for, the Pentecostals, for miracles, that's where that'll take place in that, under them. See, that's Elijah's and Moses. We just wait on the coming of the Lord. Just wait. Keep your lamps trimmed, all filled full of oil. Pray up every hour, not every day, every hour. Just keep ready. Be ready. Be sweet and watching. And Dr. Soto continues to say, therefore, those ministries of Moses and Elijah are going to be there. Where will they be? In the fulfillment of the tenth vision. And if the ministries are going to be there, then there must be a human being, a man, for those ministries to be manifested. One might say, what part are you confused about? Where are you lost? That you cannot see the way and the manner in which God has always worked in every age and in every dispensation? He says that those ministries will be there in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Well, if they are going to be there, then they must have an instrument where the Holy Spirit can operate those ministries. As simple as that. That's why he'd say, as simple as that, and he repeated it many times, as simple as that. Well, it's because the simplicity itself many times makes it so that the people cannot see it. They can't understand it, comprehend it. How something so great, which God had promised through the prophets, such a great prophecy could be fulfilled by God in such a simple way. What happens is that it isn't fulfilled in the way and in the manner that the people were thinking intellectually. When God fulfills it, then they overlook it because they don't look at the way that God said he would promise it or he would fulfill it. Therefore, those ministries of Moses and Elijah are going to be there in the part that corresponds to them to carry out. In other words, for that promise to be fulfilled, the ministries of Moses and Elijah had to be there. And the one to whom this tenth vision was shown only had the ministry of Elijah. That is, in Reverend William Branham, the tenth vision was shown to him, and what he had was the ministry of Elijah. He didn't have the ministry of Moses. Now, look, on page 57 of the Book of Quotations, in paragraph 494, he tells us, the spirit of Elijah of this Gentile church will just continue right on unto that Jewish church, that is, the age of the cornerstone. And he draws the cornerstone there and the arrow towards the cornerstone. Look, he even left us little drawings and little arrows and little drawings. In other words, he was leaving everything for us so that, let's say, we would start out small, learning everything relevant to the seventh seal in the teaching under the tent. He left us everything as if we were babies, so to speak. And he left us the way that he was going to teach us, even with little drawings. and arrows and writings so that we wouldn't overlook it. Look how thorough and detailed the Holy Spirit is. Meaning that there would be no excuse, because even in that way, He let us see, or He is letting us see, what the fulfillment of the seventh seal was. Go right on in and call Moses with him. You see it? And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews. And he writes Jubilee year, Leviticus 25, that they rejected the Messiah. Amen. You see it? It'll be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. And there he writes, on the left, upwards, he writes the Jewish age equals dispensation of the kingdom and age of cornerstone, that is, and a little cornerstone. He also writes the Gentile age, and he writes Moses and Elijah. Now, he continues to say here, therefore, the ministry of Moses was also needed, and that is for the ministry of the two olive trees and the ministry of Jesus for the end time, where great things are going to happen, and where the plagues are also going to be revealed. All that mystery of the plagues, and not only the plagues that already happened, but the ones that will be happening at this end time. Now, look, that is what it speaks to us about in the book of Revelation, in its chapter 9. And let's see something there. Chapter 9 of Revelation, verse 1. It says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them it was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, look, in this message, and knoweth it not, which was preached by Reverend William Branham, he tells us on page 19, he says, now, watch the Spirit following it. There will come a time in the name of the Lord that the people will go completely insane. The Bible says so. They will scream and holler great, hideous things in their imaginary mind. The radios and things, our television programs are producing it. In other words, notice how all those people, film producers and so on, are also inspired to produce those horror movies and all those things. They are inspired by the fifth dimension to prepare those movies and all those shows. And people see that, and they get wrapped into that environment. Our television programs are producing it. There will be such things as ants rise up on the earth that will be as high as 14 trees. There will be a bird will fly across the earth with wings 4 or 5 miles across, and the people see them. They will scream and holler and cry for mercy, but it will be the plagues. Wait till I preach on those plagues opening
and he writes the plagues. Watch what Moses done. Watch what Moses done under the physical being, not the spirit. When he said, God said to Moses, go out there to his prophet, pick up a handful of dust and throw it to the air and say, thus saith the Lord, fleas will come upon the earth. Remember, Moses is one of the two olive trees, the ministry of Moses. There was no fleas. The first thing you know, they begin to see something crawl on a bush. Looked over, there is something else. And after a while, they was so deep you couldn't make through them. They were so covered in fleas they was so deep you couldn't wade through them. Where did they come from? God is the creator. He can do what he will. He is sovereign. He could make a bird that could reach his wings from one side of the earth to the other. And he said, let there come flies and clothe upon all the earth. There wasn't a fly in the land. First thing you know, an old blowfly began to fly around. There is, in the book of the seals, there it's where he speaks about a fly, and then this many appeared by square miles, something like that. First thing, there was 8 or 10, 12. First thing you know, you couldn't walk through them. God, the Creator, keep his word. And he stretched forth his rod at the command of God. Let's see something here. Let's see something. Look, in this message, proving his word. This is the one that was preached. Because there's another one. This one is from August 16 of 64. Notice, he says, on page 18, or reason, don't reason with it. You say, well, I believe you ain't got no right when God says anything. Just the way he said, that is the thing you do. You say, well, I think, but you ain't got no thought coming. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And Christ is the Word. Let the Word be in you. All other words be wrong. Christ's words is right. Others believe him and all of his reasoning like she did. Reason. Well, why would God do this? Now, isn't this just as good as that? If it is contrary to the Word, it's not. So, anything, any teacher, any Bible expositor, anything else would teach you or try to get you to believe anything. One liter iota different from what this Bible says, it's false teaching. It's Satan again, just exactly like it was to Eve. God goes right on, no matter what he does, what Satan does, God goes right on proving it to be so. Now, look what he said to Eve. Surely you will not die, you'll be wise. That's what the world is looking for today, scientific proof, some knowledge of a man. And he said, surely you will not die. But God had said, you will die, and God proved it so. And we can see it. And we can see it. He meant what he said. Go up here at the graveyard. You'll know whether he meant it or not. The day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. And when you go up here and check any man you want to of any age, there was never a man lived 1,000 years. He proved his word so. He'll do it every time. But remember, he keeps all of his promises of blessing as well as he does with his cursings. Because they eat thereof, that day they died, and he proved it to you, that they do die that day that they eat thereof, and also keeps every word he said about his blessings, every promise God keeps. Oh, I love that. You have to choose which one you want, his blessings by believing or his cursings by perverting it. If you pervert it and believe the perversion side of it, then you are cursed. If you believe it just the way he wrote it and hold on to it, then you are blessed. And there he writes, if you believe the perverted side of it. And notice in the writing that he has here on the back, he wrote, if you pervert the word and believe the perversion side of it the same way, then you are cursed. If you believe it just the way he wrote it, then you are blessed. Now, he continues to say here, I'm on page 20 of the message and knoweth not. He says, and he stretched forth his rod at the command of God and said, let frogs come up and cover the earth. And there he writes on the left, the rod, the word. And the frogs came until they heaped them up, piles, and stink was everywhere, maybe 40 or 50 feet high of frogs. They were in a cupboard of the Pharaoh. They were in the, turn down the sheet, and they were, and there would be 500 frogs under the sheet, under the bed, in the grub. Everywhere they went was frog, frog, frogs. Where did they come from? God is the creator, is sovereign. What he says, he'll do. And he said there'll be a hideous sight upon the earth, locusts with hair like woman, long hair to hunt them women that caught their hair, teeth like lion, stinger in their tails like scorpions. They would torment men months. Just wait till we get into opening them plagues and seals and them seven thunders. Watch what takes place. Oh, brother, you better get to Goshen while there's time to get to Goshen. Don't pay any attention to this outside. And he writes there, get to Goshen before an ellipsis. And above that paragraph, he also writes, the opening of the plagues, the thunders, and the seventh seal. Now, there is something very important because the opening of all of that is the fulfillment. And we cannot overlook that because, look, now, it goes on to say in verse 5 of this ninth chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That is, they will try to take their own lives, but they won't be able to. In other words, they will try to commit suicide, but won't manage to. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and they were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Now, look, in this message, God's only provided place of worship
On page 45 of this message, Reverend William Branham tells us, seeing, Lord, that the mental condition, the nervous age that the people's living in, it's driving them out of their mind to exactly fulfill what the scripture said and promised. The great and hideous things would come upon the earth, and he writes the plague, like locusts, to hunt the women that cut their hair. They will have long hairs, like women, and different hideous sights that they will be able to see, Lord, in that mental, deluded condition they're in, and then screaming for the rocks and the mountains, women who would mother dogs and cats and not raise children to honor you. And he writes, dogs to the side, those that you did give children to, and they did conceive them, turn them loose on the streets to do as they want. No wonder you said, Lord, when you were going to the cross, then they'll begin to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. We see every other thing moving right up to this time. We see the scripture being vindicated, proved. And just as we see that, Lord, you, with our own eyes being made manifest, someday there will be a rapture, and we will see the manifestation of that word, for the Son of Man shall come in the clouds of glory with his holy angels with him, and we will be caught up to meet him in the air. It will be then an ellipsis. We hear of it now. Then we will see it with our own eye. Now, also notice in this message, Feast of the Trumpets, there on page 33, Reverend William Branham says, the hour that we are living, the ecclesiasticals of spirits uniting together now and bringing them all to this big one slaughter to blow out, it's already in writing here in this nation now. And he writes, boycott Revelation 13, which is USA, that these churches has to be closed unless you're with the organization. It's an union. It's a boycott, just like the mark of the beast. And now you see what the beast is, don't you? And now you see what the beast is, don't you? It's a power, and a power, ecclesiastical power. Jesus said it'll be so close, like the real thing, it deceived the very elect if it was possible, but it's not possible. But he promised to have something here, and he writes, Moses and Elijah. If he promised it, it is a promise. Then he must fulfill it. And he has fulfilled it. He is faithful to fulfill his word. He promised to have something here for us in that day, that we wouldn't be deceived, and that is the word, and Christ to make it manifest to us. They are supernaturals, devils, unseen to the eye, but you can see what they are doing. See? Notice, while that group is arriving, making themselves ready to stomp out everything that won't agree with them, there is another group being made ready after a while, Revelation 11, and that is the bride. The next time the church is heard, she comes also, not upon exactly horses, but the Bible said he was on a white horse, and the host of heaven was following him upon white horses. That right? While this group down here has got 2,000 bound at the river Euphrates and has been bound for 2,000 years, also that church has bound the Holy Ghost for nearly 2,000 years under martyrdom back there and under the church ages. It's been bound not to the river Euphrates, but at the door of creeds and dogmas, that the Holy Spirit cannot work in the church because of man-made systems. But she's going to be liberated. She is coming back. Remember the vision of the bars? Where he said to him, God is delivering his people. Where are you, brother Borders?
meaning all of that is for this end time. That's what the Bible said. And those two meet one another on the battlegrounds, Lucifer and Michael again, like in the beginning. And he writes there Michael and Lucifer. And he writes, the spoken word is, and he also writes, Revelation 12, and several scriptures, and he writes, it repeats again, Daniel 12. Now, continuing here, where we left off, from the book of Revelation, chapter 13, look, he goes on to say, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for the hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slain the fourth part of men. Now, those four angels, where have we seen that they are holding back? Here the order is being given for them to be loosened. Loose the four angels. Where are those angels carrying out that? Revelation chapter 7. There it tells us, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, this angel that ascends, notice what he tells them. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, meaning it is the angel with the Holy Spirit with the seal of the living God. And he, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to herd the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And there in chapter 4, it goes on to tell us about those who would be sealed in their foreheads, and it mentions all the tribes. Now, these same angels are told here, that is, they are loosened to do what they have to do. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. The hour, the day, month, and year, meaning it is a specific time. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and of their mouths issues fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, that is radioactivity, atomic bombs, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, whoever is an unbeliever, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. There's a Psalms that speak about all of that as well. The idols. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts.
Now look, in this same message, Feast of the Trumpets, on page 34, he tells us, page 34, at the bottom, oh my, Revelation 9, verse 1, under the fifth trumpet, their king. Now let's see who is their king. In 115 there is, page, Psalm number 115, let's see, where it speaks to us about this matter of the idols. Verse 3, it says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouth, but they not speak. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And it continues there. Now look, in Feast of the Trumpet, page 34, it says, the king of this great group of 200,000 horses, they had a king over them. Now let's see who that king is. And if we notice, it was a fallen star. Why art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Let's see. In Isaiah, chapter 14, it speaks to us about this. Verse 12, chapter 14, verse 12 of Isaiah, look, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Who is the one that weakens the nations? Lucifer, the devil. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. And notice, there above where it says the mount of the congregation, he writes Zion, Mount Moriah, and in the sides of the north. On the right, he writes north, and he also writes Israel, and he writes Europe, and he again writes Israel. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Now, he knows that the throne that will be established on earth is in Israel. That is why Israel is attacked so much. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet, thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. it shall never be renowned, prepares slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant, and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern, and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. As it was prophesied, it is so. God is faithful to fulfill his promise, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread them underfoot. Then shall this yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed on the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Now look, he goes on to tell us here. Oh, how doctor, I'm on page 34 of the book of the message, Feast of the Trumpets. Oh, how Dr. Smith got that so scrupled up there. But it's all right, see? Wasn't for his hour, see? All right, was the bottomless pit. Their king was the king of the bottomless pit, Revelation 17:8, and he writes there below, the matter of the fifth trumpet is made flesh. I wrote something down here. I'm just going to read it. You see, Revelation 17:8, and I want to read what it says here, because I don't know how to hit this next, 17:8. And the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life, of the life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast which was, which is not, and which is yet. See? Was. One pope dies, another one ascends. Beast which was, which is not, which is, which is not, which is. And he writes on the right, pope. Don't change its order. It's pope the same time. Everything has to go in the same system. Now, he says that they would receive one who will come in his own name. He says they will receive him. Let's find that scripture where he shows us we are getting into something there. That portion, because there's a place where Brother William had told us. Let's see here in an excerpt. I should have it where he talks about. Let's see, I should have it around here. Who comes in his own name. In John 5, but let's find the excerpt so we can have it together with that scripture. I will find it quickly here. Where let's see here. Look, in this message, yes, that's it. Let's find the subject so that you can have it. And it is the message that he preached titled The Amnesty in the Kingdom of God. This one was preached on September 1 of 2012 here in Calle, Puerto Rico. And look what he tells us here. He says, that word, Dr. William Soto says, that word, that promised, has to be quickened. A bit before that. Let's read this scripture first. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, meaning all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The disciples baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the name Lord Jesus Christ is the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That is why when the Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus, he said to him, I am Jesus whom you persecute. That's why when he appeared on different occasions, and it was said that the Holy Spirit spoke to them, it was the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ said, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he also said that he would come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because the Holy Spirit bears the name of God. The angel of the covenant bears the eternal name of God, according to the words that were spoken to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. The name, which to men is unpronounceable, is borne by the angel of the covenant, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 20 to 23 as well. And then when Jesus Christ came to earth, speaking to his disciples and to the rest of the people that were present there, he tells them that he has come in a certain name. I have come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now, notice that scripture is in John chapter 5. It's the one that we were searching for. Verse 40, starting from 39, but let's see the page, the paragraph 43, it says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. I am come in my Father's name, and he writes there to the side, he writes, YHWH. Now, notice what he says here. In the message that I am reading, the amnesty. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. The Antichrist is the one who comes in his own name, using the name that he calls himself, or that was given to him, or that he names himself. Like what they named him, or what he named himself, this one. They named him, I think it was Leo. See, he names himself Leo 14, copycat, because God said that he comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he comes in his last manifestation with the eternal name of God. He comes in the name of his Father. This one comes in his own name, given to him here. The Antichrist is the one who comes in his own name, using the name that he calls himself, or that was given to him, or that he names himself. But Christ came in the name of his Father, because every son comes in the name of his Father. Now, notice what he continues to say here in Feast of the Trumpets, where we left off. See, was, one pope dies, another one ascends. Beast, which was, which is not, which is, which is not, which is, don't change its order, its pope, the same time, everything, Everything has to go in the same system, and it shall come where? To the bottomless pits. And the Bible said here that the leader of these fellows was from the bottomless pits, and that was their king. And he sits with a triple crown and joining the Protestants with him. And he writes there to the side, the Pope equals the king of the bottomless pits. See who is the king? The Pope, the king of the bottomless pits. What we read there in Revelation chapter 9. Now look on page 37 of this same book, The Feast of the Trumpets. Reverend William Branham tells us there, notice now, quickly, Revelation 9, under the seventh trumpet, their king is from the bottomless pits. Then, in Leviticus now, how perfect the interpretation is here with the word, because, see, immediately following the Pentecostal Jubilee followed the Day of an Atonement, the order of the feast time between the Pentecostal feast to the Atonement. The sound of the trumpets for the Atonement was the Pentecostal feast, the long period of time. And he writes there, the trumpets and the Atonement. Look, there was a long period of time between the Pentecostal feast to the calling of the trump, the sounding of the trumpets, the trumpets to be sound, a long period of time. Frankly, it was 50 days from the feast of Pentecost to the feast of the Atonement. And he writes, the Atonement on the left upwards was 50 days. Now, 50 days is exactly 7 Sabbaths. And 7 Sabbaths is the 7 church years, church ages. And he writes, 7 feasts equals 7 ages. And he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and he writes 50. And 7 Sabbaths is the 7 church years, church ages. Get it? See? See? Now, the Jews has been blinded, waiting all this time, while the Pentecostal first fruits has been poured out upon the church, and we've come down through the modern ages, and down through the reformer ages, and now, in the calling out age, 3 sections, same spirit, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, same one, see? But 7 church ages, being 7 Sabbaths. Exactly 7 Sabbaths from the Pentecostal Jubilee trumpet, a Pentecostal Jubilee feast, until the waving of the sheaf, and then the Pentecostal Jubilee. And he writes there, the trumpet of the Jubilee year, on the right. And on the left, he writes Jubilee. And then, from the Jubilee to the Atonement is 7 Sabbaths, 50 days. And at the end of the 50 days is the Atonement. The Atonement is made. You get it? And he writes the Atonement. He draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the from the cornerstone towards pointing that writing of the Atonement. Now, and this has been a type that the church, when he was revealed himself as Son of God, has been revealed to the church in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was feeling some heat for a moment, but it seems like the fan is off. It's not working. It's a bit. Let me see if I can turn it on here. Excuse me for a moment. That's better. It was off. For a moment, I was needing a bit of... It's because there isn't much breeze, and when you speak, well, your mouth starts drying out. But God is helping us. And we are continuing to move forward. It's turned on now. How refreshing. It was hot. I looked up to see if the fans were on. Now, this has been a type that the church, when he was revealed himself as the Son of God, has been revealing to the church in the baptism of the Holy Ghost down through the ages and in the Pentecostal age. See, just keep getting more and more justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, here is the calling out time, and he draws a little cornerstone. In other words, the calling out time, it's the time of the age of the cornerstone. At the sixth seal, when it opened, the persecution struck the Jews in the literal standpoint, and here comes the persecution to the church in the ecclesiastical standpoint, because the bride is already called. The Sabbaths are over and ready for the Jews to be called. Where to? The Feast of Atonement. Oh, church, don't you see that? Called to the Feast of the Atonement. What? To recognize the atonement, not no more chickens and geese and what they've been doing. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, Israel, is going to know that. And he writes there, the atonement. Notice, here is a great thing. Look, oh my, the Holy Spirit has been bound by the denominations all these 2,000 years. And he writes, the Holy Spirit was bound for 2,000 years. And also to the right he writes, 2,000 years. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here in the words of greetings to the ladies that we are reading, he says, all that will be revealed in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. In other words, God has great things to carry out in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. And that vision is promised to be fulfilled in the midst of the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not in the midst of just any group, but in the midst of the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it was prophesied that all of that would be carried out, fulfilled, in the midst of those who were waiting for him, in the midst of the church bride. Now, he says on page 51 of the message proving his word, it's the one that I was reading earlier, look, he says, now, remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there, that could discern the thoughts of Sarah behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not been born yet. But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the Great Almighty. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, now watch close, in the days of Sodom, so will it be the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed, and he writes, Son of Man, not no more as a church, see, not no more, the bride is called, see, in that day that the Son of Man will be revealed. Paragraph 183 of the Book of Quotations, it tells us about that next time that the Son of Man will manifest himself. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this, when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unite together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man, not a clergyman. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? In the Book of Quotations is where he says it would not be a denomination. Who? Moses and Elijah. It wouldn't join any denominational group. See? It's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us, and it will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She is already united. See, we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Feel your flesh self of all the flesh of mighty man, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. And there he writes, it manifests the Son of Man again. And he also writes the marriage. When the word here unites with the person, and they two become one, and then, what does it do then? And that's where he says, it manifests the Son of Man again, not the church theologians, the Son of Man. The word and the church becomes one. whatever the Son of Man done, he was the Word. The church does the same thing. In the 70 weeks of Daniel, he says, to anoint the most holy, and that's the church bride. How did he prove himself through the ages? How did he prove himself through the ages? Through the prophets, which could speak the word, know their thoughts. That's how he was known. That promise that the church age come through with not even night or day, but in the evening time when the Son of Man would be revealed, it would come again. That is the next manifestation of the Son of Man. It shall be light at the evening time. See? What does he do? Prove his word. Now look, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and that is where, that is the fulfillment of the 10th vision, and there is where the power of God will be manifested in all his fullness when the moment comes. In other words, everything has a moment, a time to be carried out. And what was seen in part, manifested in Reverend William Branham, will be seen manifested in all his fullness. In other words, the 10th vision is linked to the third pool, to the seventh seal, to the two olive trees, to all the other things. The fulfillment of the 10th vision cannot be separated from the two olive trees, nor from the seventh seal, nor from all those things. It cannot be separated. It's all one. Now, notice what he says. The faith for the rapture, the seven thunders, the plagues, all those things are linked to the 10th vision. Therefore, no one can say, no, I already have the rapture in faith. I already heard the thunders. Oh, and what are you going to do with this? The rapture in faith is being given in the fulfillment of the 10th vision. As simple as that. The thunders, the rapture in faith, is the knowledge of the seventh seal. What the seventh seal is, the coming of the Lord with his angels, with a new name. Now look in the message. Is this the sign of the end, sir? On page 49, Reverend William Branham tells us, this message was preached on December of 62, and already by March of 63, he is preaching the seals. And he tells us there, I am asking you the question. It blasted with thunder when this voice rang out. Did you notice that when the seven seals that follow the seven church ages, when the first seal was opened, that there was a thunder? The first seal in the book was opened, there was a thunder. Would not this first seal of the outside book open the same way? God doesn't change his program. And he draws a star of David there to the right. And he writes, God doesn't change his program. And on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And at the end, he writes Pentecost. And where it says the first seal of the outside book opens the same way, an arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes the thunders when the book is completed. The thunders when the book is completed. Let's turn over to Revelation 6. And I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it was the noise of a thunder, and one of the four beasts said, come and see. Now, there was never another thunder, and the last seal was opened. There was space in heaven for a half hour of silence, and he writes half an hour of silence on the right. But the first seal was opened. There was a blast of thunder. Oh, church, could it be? Are we that far? Friends, think, maybe. I hope it isn't. But what if it is? What was that blast? And before God and this open Bible, I lie not, blast that shook the earth. And when the first seal of the seven that was opened in the Bible, it come forth just one, but a blast that shook the whole thing, a thunder. And then, if the seals that's on the backside would open, would not it be a thunder too? Remember that they sounded, it says that they sounded right in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so quickly that I couldn't make it out, says Brother Branham. I couldn't tell what they were saying, and they were speaking in an unknown language, unknown to Reverend William Branham. That is, it wasn't English, it was Spanish. I don't know, I can say, there was a thunder, and above he writes the day of Pentecost, equals today, the Jubilee year. The first seal, and the seal was a thunder. The trumpet was opened at that time, and he writes, Gospel. And the trumpet was blown at Pentecost, of course, I won't get into that. And he writes the day of Pentecost to the right. And now, look what he writes here in the margin upwards. He writes, a message is represented in a thunder. On the day of Pentecost, a thunder, and Peter preached the gospel of grace. The year of Pentecost, a thunder, and the angel of Jesus brings the gospel of the kingdom. I will reread it again. A message is represented in a thunder. On the day of Pentecost, a thunder, and Peter preached the gospel of grace. The year of Pentecost, a thunder, and the angel of Jesus brings the gospel of the kingdom. Now, if the vision was scriptural, the vision I am speaking of that I saw last Saturday morning, a week ago now, remember here, if the vision was scriptural, it must be interpreted by the scripture or a continuation of the same scripture. I just waited so that soaks in. If this is what I've seen, what it was, I don't know, but I am scared to death. Are we wasted away? Are we at the end? Remember, this angel said, when this taken place, he swore there will be time no more. That is the angel of Revelation chapter 10 saying that there will be time no longer, and he writes there of redemption. In other words, he will no longer be on the throne of intercession, making intercession. I wonder if we really get this one. You say, well, look like it be blasting across. Brother, he comes in a minute when you think not. You will hear it your last time. Now, is it plain? When the first seal was opened, the seal that was inside the book, these mysteries that was sounded forth, justification, sanctification, Roman Catholic Church, Protestants, and when all their little battles and things left those loose ends in the Word of God, the seventh angel comes on and gathers them all up and explains them, see? And then he finishes. That is, when all these things have ended and he finishes, seven thunders speak. That's the backside of the book. Seven thunders utter out. When John started to write, said, don't write it, but seal it. And the first seal was opened of the seals on the inside of the book. It opened with a thunder. And he writes, the thunders speak after the mystery is finished. Is finished. And there's a place right here where he tells us in a writing, the opening of the seals on the backside of the book or outside. Later we can, I didn't have it bookmarked to read it. Oh, look, in the back, there's a writing that here he also tells us, when the book of the seven seals is completed, it is then the time for the seven thunders. When the book of the seven seals is completed, it is then the time for the seven thunders. And he also writes there, This is referring here to page
52,
today's page 52-53. Look, he says, men, messengers, prophets, and so forth to the church, but this one didn't come from the earth. He comes down from heaven. He is speaking about Revelation chapter 10, because the mystery is all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel said, time shall be no more. And the seven thunders throwed their voices out. When? When the time was no more. When the time of the dispensation of grace had ended. And that is where he writes, Revelation 10 from 1 to 6 appears after the mystery is finished, and then the thunders are heard. The thunders are heard after what? After the finished time. And on the back there, he writes, rapture in faith, the mighty angel brings it with the seven thunders. Now, our brother William goes on to say, therefore, it is the greatest project in the divine program, and even the group of the 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 of each tribe, are connected to that, and the Hebrew people are also connected to the fulfillment of the 10th division, because when they see the Lord working all those things, they will say, this is the one that we are waiting for. See? That 10th vision is connected to the Hebrew people as well. That is why that 10th vision and its fulfillment are so important. In the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, look, there he tells us on page 42, here on page 38, there he says, the hour was not yet. That is when the Holy Spirit sent him back. He was about to catch his flight to go to Israel. And he says there, the hour was not yet. The iniquity of the Gentiles hasn't filled up yet, just to the end of the cup. But someday that will be, and God will send somebody there that's a prophet, and he writes there above, Moses and Elijah, and will prove to them, I trust that God will rise him up right away, whoever he may be. That'll rise him quickly. I believe it has to come. That's why we're studying this for, that we are so close. And remember, the very minute that the Jews receive Christ, the Gentile church is gone. Then the Gentiles have the plagues poured out upon them, the tribulation. And he writes, plagues. And he also writes on the left, upwards, Moses to the Jews, because he is one of the two olive trees. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and that 10th vision cannot be fulfilled unless it is with the group chosen by God to carry out that 10th vision. It cannot be with the group of the first age, because that one already passed. It cannot be with the group of the second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, or seventh, because they have already had their time. And therefore, it will not be in the territory where those ages were fulfilled. It has to be in the territory where the age of the cornerstone will be fulfilled. As simple as that. Therefore, God has great blessings for the Latin American people. God has great blessings for God's people in the stage of the age of the cornerstone. And with those blessings, the people will receive everything that God has promised for His church at the last day. God is going to shake this world as He has never done before. God is going to show His power at this end time. Now look, in the message, Souls That Are in Prison Now, on page 40, Reverend William Branham tells us there, lost, could never be saved. They had rejected mercy. That was his third pool.
Now, is there any questions? His first pull, he healed the sick, is that right? His second ministry, he was prophesying. His third ministry was preaching to the eternal lost. And he numbers them 1, 2, 3. The three mountains, so forth, the lost eternal. Noah's ministry, all ministries done the same. Noah preached. That's exactly right. He went into the ark, and when he went into the ark, there were 7 days that nothing happened. And he writes the seven thunders, and he draws a Star of David, and he writes silence, Revelation 8, verse 1, that nothing happened. And he writes, in 7 ages, there we can read that little part there more carefully. His testimony preached to the doomed. Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus referred to both of them as coming. Before the coming of the Son of Man, so shall it be like in the days of Noah, so shall it be like in the days of Sodom. He referred to Noah. Noah had three pulls, and his third was to the lost after the door was shut. And there were 7 days, seven thunders, that nothing happened. It's in 7 perfect ages. 7 perfect ages. Yesterday, the place where we read, I didn't bring that booklet, which he says, 7 ages of thundering, he says. That is because those are the seven consecutive stages of the age of the cornerstone. His third was to the lost after the door was shut, for God let it seat right there where nobody could enter or go out. They were inside, for as on the seventh mountain, the highest mountain, that's where he settled the ark. Mountain, see? That's right. And he writes, the coming of the Son of Man on the right. And he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and a Star of David there on the side. And he writes, the seventh mountain, the third pool, in the days of Sodom. The first pool was the righteous, Lot. And the Bible said, the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul daily, how them women acted and done. You remember, as it was in the days of Noah, what was they doing? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, women, see, women. What was in the days of Sodom? Women. And the first message was Lot. They laughed him to scorn. Then they sent another messenger, two of them, and they went down. That was his second pull for Lot, for Sodom. But look, at the one that went last, there's more and more mercy. Now look at that. In this part, it is already the third pool. There is more and more mercy. It was all over then, all over at that time. That third messenger that went down there, the third pool, what was he? What kind of ministry did he have? He sat with the elected and told them what was taking place behind him. That's right. But when he stepped off into Babylon or into Sodom, he wanted to find an ellipsis, and he writes there, Elohim stepped off into Sodom, and Abraham crying, if I could find 50 righteous, on down to 10 righteous? God said, yes, find 10 righteous. And he writes, in the Gentile world. Let me tell you something, sister. Just a minute. You might be old-fashioned, but you got something this sex queens hasn't got. You've got something that she can never have, right? You might be old-fashioned in your dressing, dressed up like a lady. They might say, look at that old holy roller. Don't you worry. She's got something that little old sex queen that's got all the world looking at her out there, She hasn't got it. She can never have it. She's lost eternally. She's doomed, see? She's never... You got moral. You got virtue. She's got nothing. She's got a bait that traps the souls, the lost souls, into hell. The blind walks into it. Now, you've got something. You know, you might not be even on a church book, but it might be your righteous life that's holding the wrath of God from the world today. The world won't believe it. You woman that's called holy rollers, you little men that don't hardly know anything, but you cry to God day and night for the sins of the country. You might be the one that's holding off the wrath. If I can find 10, I will spare it. If I can find 10, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. See what I mean? Not if I can find 10 Methodists, if I can find 10 Baptists, if I can find 10 Pentecostals, if I can find 10 athletes, if I can find 10 senators, if I can find 10 ministers, but if I can find 10 righteous, there is one righteous, that's Christ. Christ living in one of them 10. See? I will spare it. But that last messenger preached to the doomed. You say, he went down there. Scripture don't say what happened, but the fire fell the next morning. And he writes there at the bottom, fire fell in the morning. And he also writes there, look, on the right, upwards, the last messenger preached to those who couldn't be saved. Equals, it is the third pool with the angel of Jesus. And if he preached, then he is a messenger. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, the tenth vision, and in the tenth vision, the dispensation of grace will interlace with the dispensation of the kingdom. The lion of the tribe of Judah will interlace with the Lamb of God. Those divine ministries, meaning that the ministry of Christ as Lamb and the ministry of Christ as Lion will interlace. Remember that when the elder sees John weeping, he says to John, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has prevailed to take the book and open the seals thereof. Now, look, there's a writing here that he left for us in this Bible study, it says, for the church to see, she has had the seven eyes of the Lamb, one on each horn, in each age, and at the last day, she will have two, which are Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees, the two anointed ones that stand before God. In other words, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision is where he would already be as a lion. Because notice that that entire interlace is taking place and it reaches a point where that manifestation of the lion of the tribe of Judah becomes a total reality. Now look, he continues to say, and when John looked, what he saw was a lamb. See? There Christ as lamb and as a lion interlaces. Because since it is the time of amnesty inside the age of the cornerstone, anyone might say, but he is a lamb, there is mercy. But he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, said the elder. Because he was leaving his work as a lamb. He had already left, and his work as high priest to attend to his work as lion. That is, it was during that interlace, as lion, as king, and judge. When the elder sees him, he had already changed, but John sees that it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself now changing from high priest and lamb to king and to lion. Now, that is the link that Reverend William Branham says here in this message. What is the Holy Ghost? On page 22, he tells us, we are here now. They know the church was to receive power that would work in the church the same works of Christ. Because as the shadow becomes deeper and deeper and reflects more, you take a shade farther away from the shade, the least reflection you get of the shade. After a while, the shade gets closer and closer till the tree and the shade is the same thing. Now, the Spirit of God has worked under justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, the baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost, and here it is in the last day performing and doing the very same things that it did when it was in Christ. What is it? The church and Christ has become one. And as soon as they connect together, that last link, and there he draws a star of David, she will go through the sky shouting, and he writes the last link, when it appears, the bride will go. And he draws a star of David, the ages, and the arrow towards the cornerstone, and he colors it in red. Up will come Wesley, Luther, and the rest of them back in those days there. He that's first will be last, and he that's last will be first. And he writes Revelation 11 from 3 to 14. That is, the last messenger will be the first to resurrect. That's why he said, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, meaning after the resurrection of Jesus that was in the first coming of the Lord. He that's first will be last, he that's last will be first, and will come the resurrection. And he writes the resurrection, and that is where he writes above, Revelation 11, 3 to 14. Now look, here is another writing that he left for us there. In each messenger, Christ reflected the way he would be in the age of the cornerstone. And each age reflected what the age of the cornerstone will be. Now, our brother William continues to say here, there we have the change. And all of that has to be carried out in the church. In the church, the part relevant to the church, what happens in heaven, then happens in the church. And thus, that is relevant to the age of the cornerstone. There's a writing that he also left for us in a Bible study, and he writes, the seven horns equals the seven ages. The seven eyes equals the seven angels. The two eyes equals the two olive trees and the two candlesticks. And he writes equals, and he draws two cornerstones. The two ages of cornerstone. Church, Jews. And there are the two cornerstones forming the Star of David. The prophecy of the two olive trees. In these minutes, we have seen some places where it shows us that prophecy of the two olive trees being fulfilled at this end time, just as it was prophesied, just as it was said, that this manifestation of the two olive trees would be in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, the prophecy of the two olive trees. Let's stand, and we will leave this subject, the prophecy of the two olive trees, which we will be seeing gradually being fulfilled
at this end time until it reaches its total fulfillment, the prophecy of the two olive trees. Let's now leave with us, without further ado, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.